This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino, San Diego's closest casino. Real close, real friendly, real fun. It's that time, San Diego.
Ooh, what time is it? Time to kick it!
Time for Gwen and Chris to help you close out your day.
I guess I've been working so hard, I forgot what it's like to be hard at work.
Time for you to forget about who stole your lunch at work.
This is it! This is it! Right here, right now!
Time for you to lock in on sports. Featuring Tony Gwynn Jr.
Which culminated in him being placed on a non-football injury list.
Excuse me, did you say culminated?
And Chris Ello.
Bubkas. Absolutely Bubkas. Nothing.
Didn't don't know what Bubkas is, but...
Bubkas is nothing.
I was kind of confused.
Yeah, Bubkas... Bubkas is nothing.
Gwen and Chris are on the air on 97.3 The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Happy Hour. 6:01 on the clock as we wind down the evening show into Friday. Tony Gwynn Jr.
That's the best happy hour of the week. It's a Friday happy
it
hour.
It is. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby.
And if I can hit my mic, it gets kind of punch drunk too.
It can. It hasn't gotten punch drunk in a while. I mean, usually off seasons is when the happy hour gets a little punch drunk. Hopefully we can keep it somewhat sober for you here down the last hour. All right. We have.
But don't count on it.
We have a countdown. Well, first, let me give you an update on this Astro Red Sox game. Bases loaded, bottom of the second, one out. Houston at the plate. Jose Altuve hitting, and Sale trying to find his way out of a jam. Seems like after the 41-minute first inning, they've picked things up a little bit.
Second inning's only been 36 minutes, I think, Tony. So yes, they are racing along at warp speed now.
They are starting to pick up the pace. All right, we've been talking about this countdown all day. Anything else you guys want to get to before we jump into it? No? All right, here is the countdown.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is the countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we are in the countdown, and today's list, top five worst or blown calls in sports history.
Yep.
Should be a good
one.
To
you guys.
To us, right. These are our top five.
It's our list. It's not the official list. Not that there is such a thing.
Why don't you go first?
Number five.
First.
All right. I would love to. Number five, 1999. Just having a little pre-Thanksgiving Day breakfast when this took place. Phil Luckett was the name of the referee as the Steelers-Lions NFL Thanksgiving Day game headed into overtime. Phil Luckett conducted the coin toss. Steelers captain Jerome Bettis was heard by everyone to yell, "Tails!" Oh, yeah. Somehow, Luckett heard "heads." And when the coin landed as tails, he awarded possession to the Lions rather than the Steelers, who won the toss. Jerome Bettis went apoplectic.
Yeah, he did.
But he couldn't get the poor, clueless official to change his mind. And in those days, it was sudden death overtime, baby. First team to score wins. Lions got the ball, went down, kicked a field goal. They won. And Phil Luckett forevermore was connected with the pathetically embarrassing moment on Thanksgiving Day 1999. Number five.
My number five is on the baseball diamond. It was, I can't tell you when the date was, but I remember the play very well. It was recent. You could pull it up on YouTube, so recent. Jerry Hairston Jr. called out at first base in Colorado. Todd Helton is the first baseman. And you're thinking to yourself, that's not that big of a deal. But if you pull it up and you look at how far Todd Helton is away from the first base bag.
I remember that,
You almost can't even be mad at such a bad call. There wasn't a whole bunch of significance to the call, but just one of the worst calls you will ever see in the game of baseball.
Jerry Hairston Jr. had one of those looks on his face at the time. We'll have to ask him about it next time he's around.
Number four.
All right, number four for me is pretty memorable. Also happened in 1999, strangely. In June of that year, the Stanley Cup Finals between the Dallas Stars and the Buffalo Sabres. And there was an incredibly controversial way this ended. In triple overtime of Game 6, Dallas's Brett Hull was standing in the blue paint area in front of the goal, known as the crease. He had a skate clearly in the crease. He grabbed a loose puck and put it in the net to win the series. The Sabres and their fans are still arguing. Why? Because in that day and age, in 1999, players were not allowed to step in the crease for any reason other than to go after a puck that was already lying there. And it was pretty clear that Brett Hull was already there before the puck. Anyway, the officials had replay at their disposal. They looked at it. They were called out of the locker. I mean, this is for the Stanley Cup. And Dallas got the goal. And to this day, Buffalo Sabre fans will tell you that they had. Now, that you can kind of say is
a call for
causing you the cup. I mean, it was a tie game. This is an illegal goal. They looked at it. They decided that it was still okay. Let's see. Long-retired hockey legend Brett Hull recently changed his Twitter profile pic to a shot of himself holding a miniature Stanley Cup and wearing a T-shirt reading, "Brett Hull is a cheater," even though he was the recipient of the call. Right. He's kind of making fun of the poor people from Buffalo. All right, so that was my number four one, the skate in the crease, 1999.
What would a top five be without the infamous tuck rule?
Ah, yes.
Raiders,
beautiful.
Patriots, they're probably still Raider fans to this day, singing the same tune that those Buffalo fans.
The Patriots would win no championships. Life would be different for Dolphin fans everywhere if it wasn't for that.
We all know
call.
It well. I believe Charles Woodson comes around the edge on a blitz.
Yeah.
They hit Tom. It's a fumble. They pick it up.
Game over.
Game over, only to have it overturned by what we know now as a tuck rule. Prior to that, nobody had ever heard of this rule.
No, the only person who even knew who it was the official, Walt. Remember his name.
My guess is better.
No, it wasn't Walt Weiss. Let me see if I can find him.
Crazy. You're crazy.
Walter White?
No, it wasn't Walter White, the guy from Breaking Bad. Walt Coleman.
Okay.
Walt Coleman reversed the call of a fumble according to the tuck rule. Yeah,
that's my number four.
That's
man,
a classic.
All I remember about that is that snow.
That's all I remember, too.
Adam Vinatieri still had to make a 45-yard field goal after the tuck rule, and he made it. Kike Hernandez just made a beautiful diving catch with
runs.
The bases loaded to save runs. Houston still leads 1-0 over Boston.
Number three.
All right, number three. This was a tie because I thought they were both similar. One of them was the unfortunate missed call of Jim Joyce at first base, which prevented Armando Galarraga of the Tigers from pitching a perfect game. But the more famous one to me is Don Denkinger in the 1985 World Series. And again, you want to claim that you had something taken from you. The Cardinals that year could claim it because they were ahead 3-2. They led 1-0 bottom of the ninth. And the leadoff hitter, Jorge Orta, hit a ground ball to first base. Jack Clark shuffled it to the pitcher, Todd Worrell, covering. And Worrell clearly got his foot on the bag before Orta. No replay in those days. Denkinger called him safe. Royals went on to score two runs, win that game, and then win Game 7 the next night to steal the World Series from the Cardinals.
Well, there's
Kike Hernandez just hit one up on the train tracks.
Kike
is on a roll right now.
Hottest player in the playoffs right now.
1-1, top of the third. Go ahead, Tony.
There's no need for me to go because I have Don Denkinger.
Yes.
As my number three as well.
Dinker?
The thing I remember about Denkinger in that call was that he was the first base umpire. So by the rotation, the next night, Game 7, he worked behind home plate.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals lost Game 7, if I'm not mistaken, 13-0.
Oof.
And they couldn't get a strike called, and they got their manager, and two pitchers got ejected.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they didn't like the calls at home plate from the same umpire costing the game the night
before. You think the call of the previous night had something to do with their emotions about that?
I know it did. I know for a fact.
Number two. By the way, if you're Dusty Baker who just got on the mic right before Kike hit a homer, I'm taking that thing off immediately. As soon as he got on the air with those guys.
Oh, he hit a home run.
He hit a home run.
Yeah, I would not be pleased. All right, number two, Padre fans, cover your ears.
Mm-mm.
Tim McClellan.
Mm-mm.
In the, what year was it now? 2007?
It would have been 2007.
Yeah, NL playoff, one game playoff, Padres, Rockies. Matt Holliday still hasn't touched home plate. Although, I don't know that Michael Barrett, the catcher, ever tagged him. Still, pretty egregious missed call there that sent the Rockies eventually on into the World Series that year. So you go ahead, Giant fans, cry in your soup, but there's been other ones out there that have been bigger and franchises will remember forever.
What kind of soup do you think they're crying in? Like clam chowder?
Clam chowder,
yeah,
yes.
New England?
From Fisherman's Wharf.
No. Fisherman's Wharf.
Fisherman's Wharf chowder.
Okay. My number two takes you back to 1990. The Colorado Buffaloes.
Oh,
and
yes.
Their pursuit for...
This was horrendous officiating.
This is just as bad as it gets. They were stopped on a fourth down, but they got a fifth. And would go on to score. And, I mean, they ended up winning a national title that year, right?
Yes, they did.
And so that one loss would have certainly have taken them out of the running for it. But anytime you get five downs in football, somebody's done something egregiously wrong.
Yeah. Somebody has blundered horribly. Yeah. And they've showed it so many times. First down, second down, third down, fourth down, fifth down, touchdown. Wait a minute. What happened?
Oh,
Missouri was on the other end of that, by the way.
Hang with him, Missouri.
Hang with him. All right, number one, worst call in sports history. I remember it as a kid, and it still holds water, I think, as the worst call ever made. The most egregious, in my mind, direct act of just flat-out cheating in the history of sports. It happened to the 1972 men's...
We're on the same page.
Oh, we had the same one?
Yeah.
Well, then I'll let you talk about it as well. But the US, 72 Olympic team, oh my God, if you don't remember it, they got hosed worse than anybody I've ever seen.
The U.S. came from behind in a 1972 final at the Summer Olympics, and what should have been a beautiful story, instead it turned into a chaotic mess that ended with Doug Collins having to shoot a free throw with a buzzer in his ear. The Russian team getting three chances to inbound the ball, as well as time being stopped for them to start the play.
Yep.
More than 40 years later, the members of the U.S. team have failed to claim that silver medal of theirs because in protest, they were like, forget that thing.
That's the one game they really felt like
they didn't lose.
That's not
the effort they probably used, though.
Yeah.
Not forget.
Well, at the time, too, in 1972, the men's basketball team was 62-0 in Olympic play, had never lost a game. And as you mentioned, Doug Collins, who's now a commentator, former coach, was on that team, hit a couple of free throws to put them in the lead with 1 second to go. Only the Russians complained that there should have been 3 seconds to go because they had called a timeout before the foul. So they agreed to put 3 seconds on the clock. They inbounded the ball from under their basket, threw it all the way down. It was broken up. Game over. U.S. celebrated for a second time. And they said, oh, wait a minute. No, the clock didn't start on time. So they redid it again. They threw it the
third
length of the court.
Third time's a child.
And on the third time they threw it in the length of the court, the guy caught it and laid it in at the buzzer, and the Russians won the game. And it was criminal.
It's funny
what it was.
It's funny and sad at the same time to think how we used to have to fix things like this. Like, they just had a discussion and were convinced that they needed to put 3 seconds on the clock, whereas now we just looked at replay and said, nah, there was 3 seconds or there wasn't 3 seconds.
Or there was 1.4. Right. They didn't have the 0.4 thing in those days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I remember another part of that story was the American coach was a guy by the name of Hank Iba. And in all of the confusion in the last couple of seconds of that game, somebody stole his wallet.
Really?
Yeah. Somebody stole his wallet. He lost his wallet. Somebody stole it during all the confusion. So it was a complete disaster. If you've never seen the highlights of it, there's almost no way even highlights and us telling the story do it justice.
Doesn't. You got to watch it. Yeah.
You got to just like see it live and just go, what in the world was going on there? All right. There they are. The five worst calls in sports history. I think Wilmer Flores' check swing would be in the top 100, but there's many, many more.
Maybe it'd be in the top 100.
Yeah, you got some good ones in there. We talked about Saints-Rams 19, pass interference. How about the replacement officials in the Seahawks-Packer game where the one guy said touchdown, the other guy said incomplete?
How about before that, my man?
That's a good one.
Who was on the other end of that ball? It was, wide receiver.
Donald.
Golden Tate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How about him completely shoving the defender, I think it was Shields, down to the ground and then catching the ball? Like, nobody even decided the pass interference was an issue there at all.
Those were replacement officials. That was a moment that the NFL will never live down.
One of my three ejections in baseball was when we had replacement umpires in the minor leagues.
Mm.
It was atrocious.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to break. Before we do that, no matter what music you love or when you love to listen, Odyssey's new exclusive stations are expertly curated for sports listeners like you. Download the free Odyssey app today. We're going to get to break when we come back. You know those picks we had earlier in the year? We're going to do the AL when we come back. Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Home run, Kike Hernandez. Error, Jose Altuve. I know that upsets everybody. RBI double, Hunter Renfro. Who?
Hunter Renfro.
Yeah, Boston scores three times, top of the third. Red Sox lead Houston 3-1 now.
Fromber's day is over.
You want me to get mad that they're taking a starter out in the third inning? I mean, God, what else is new in baseball? Johnny Lee Baker just went out to the mound and took Framber Valdez out of the game.
I'm riding with Bake.
I should say Johnny Lee Jr.
That's right.
He has Baker Jr. on the back of his uniform. Just something I hadn't seen before.
I don't think he's ever had Junior on his uniform. I would remember that.
Yeah, I think I would too. All right, so 3-1 Boston, top of the third. They're still batting. Astros are changing pitchers. American League Championship Series, game one, already an hour and 20 minutes old in the top of the third. But baseball
so
doesn't need to get this figured out at all.
Fortunately, it's a good game, so I'm not
right. Sure, I love it, but you for the general fan, there's just no way.
No, you
can sit there and watch that.
They have tuned into at least a couple other shows at this point, just flipping out of the game, coming back.
Right.
They probably have no idea how the Red Sox scored. It's a long time.
6:24. Yeah.
Game started at 5.
Started at 5. We're in the top of the third. All right, so Scraby, some AL Central Division picks to recap?
I sure do.
No baseball music for this?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, now it's a...
I was one of the beds that came up in my random bed rotator was Cheesy Bed, and so I didn't feel like I should play that. So.
What's that?
It's a Cheesy Bed. Like, I put in the notes, Cheesy Bed. So, thank you. Past Scraby for saving your
good thing I like
self.
About Scraby is he's entertaining to himself, right? He just says stuff and then he laughs.
He moves
on.
Is.
There's no other reaction by anybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
and then I start
he's entertaining to himself. Yeah. I like that.
All right. American League Central. The division winner back then was, it ended up being the Chicago White Sox. And Tony was the only one correct in this one, picking the White Sox.
Way to go, Tony.
Chris and I both picked the Twins.
Oh boy, they finished last.
Yes,
so that
they
means
did.
Twice you picked a team because you picked Washington in the NL East and they finished last.
Yeah, that's not good for
that
me.
That just goes to show you what can happen.
It's one thing to miss in the middle, to miss at the bottom. That's
I mean, that's all I did too.
That's
I had Minnesota. How did I think Minnesota was going
to
win?
Because
the
they were supposed to be good.
Yeah.
That's why. They just played terrible.
They're a far bigger disappointment even than the Padres, frankly.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have overthought it. Went with the White Sox. And Tony was the only one right there. Last place team, though, Tony and I both picked the Tigers, which they had a pretty decent season for what they were expected to do. 77-85 on the year, third place in the division, so not bad. Chris chose the Royals, which ended up in fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Detroit only had, two fewer wins than the Padres did?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Really?
Yeah.
It just hit me.
Let that sink in for a second.
Tigers are supposed to win, 50.
Yeah.
They won 77.
Dang.
They did all right.
Yeah, they
I think,
did.
Didn't we do something? They were plus.
Yes, plus minus. They were way
they
up
were
there
like
on
plus
the plus
20,
side.
Plus 14,
yeah.
15.
Tigers are one of the better plus teams for sure.
Division MVP, Tony picked Tim Anderson. Chris picked Eloy Jimenez.
Oh,
and I picked
guys.
Jose Abreu.
Did I pick anybody for division MVP that wasn't lost for the season due to injury? Goodness.
Who would you say was the division MVP,
That's a good question. I'm trying to run through the... Tim Anderson had another Tim Anderson type year.
I'd say Abreu was. Didn't he lead the league in RBIs?
Abreu,
he's pretty close. Who picked him?
I did, yes.
Good one.
But I think wasn't he the MVP of last year?
I know who the AL Central MVP was. Was, is, and always will be. Whoa! Hey!
Oh, Franmil.
Franmil.
Whoa.
I love that guy.
Whoa.
Manny Margolis got a haircut.
Whoa. Those pipes, I wish I had that. That rasp.
I mean, he's a big guy.
That clip gets me every time.
Jose Abreu had 30 homers, 117 RBIs, 261.
117.
That's a lot.
Not bad.
So...
I'd say he'd be a pretty good candidate for winning that.
All right. Best newcomer, Tony said Andrelton Simmons.
Not so much.
Chris said Alex Colome.
Yep.
And I said Andrew Benintendi, who was a Royals addition, and I don't think he played very well. I don't know who the best newcomer was.
I don't know who the best newcomer was, but it doesn't sound like any of those guys made much of an impact.
It might have been Rondon. He had the no-hitter for the White Sox.
Yes.
He had missed a
Carlos
whole bunch
Rondon.
Time. Yeah.
Did Colome even play, or was he hurt the whole year, too?
I don't remember hearing about him.
I don't either. I don't remember even hearing his name.
Colome, I'm looking, and he did play this year. He went 4-4. His ERA was 4.15. He pitched, where are the innings? Oh, he pitched 65, so not that many.
I tell you who would have won that. I think would have won. Maybe Liam Hendricks might have won that,
because
he was
one
of the top save guys in baseball.
Yeah. Yep.
And he came over from the A's.
Good call.
Anyway.
All right, so that was our best newcomer. Then the division Cy Young. Tony chose Lucas Giolito. Chris chose Lucas Giolito. And I chose Shane Bieber. Shane Bieber was on the way.
That is how bad this division was, is that we don't even know. We can't even tell you who was the
Cy
Young.
Cal Quantrill.
He pitched really well down the stretch.
You're just trying to turn the knife into the hide of Chargers.
He's trying to
Padre
stoke
fans.
The flame over yeah. here.
Bieber
had a good decent year, right?
Yeah, but he got injured.
Giolito had a good year.
I don't know who. I mean,
yeah, I don't know either.
God, the American League is just foreign to me sometimes. I get so wrapped up in what's going on with the Padres and the National League that I don't notice the American
Listen,
League.
Listen, when you have four teams below 500, how good has that been?
How good could have anybody
have
been?
Have been, right?
Yeah.
All right, and then our last thing was the surprise team.
Chris is the only one who got this right.
Tony and I said the Royals, and Chris said the Tigers.
Yeah.
The Tigers were definitely the surprise team.
Yeah, they definitely were this year.
Definitely. So that's it.
AJ Hinch got probably get some votes for Manager of the Year.
He definitely will.
All right.
I know that pisses people off, too, but we will.
Well, he could have managed well if he didn't cheat, apparently. There's another way to look at that.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, so where are we at? With me?
Yep.
All right, Astros got out of the inning without any further damage from Boston. So it's 3-1 Red Sox. Bottom of the third is all that's coming up in that ball game, American League Championship Series Game 1. Aztecs kick off in San Jose about an hour from right now. Don't forget that's a Friday night game this evening, Tony, and hopefully the Aztecs, they're looking to go to, what, 6-0?
Yep.
Hey, not bad. Hey, the schedule, they got to, you know, it's one of those gotta, but, you know, if they win this one, they're, you know, set up, but then the schedule is going to get a lot tougher because they got Fresno State still, they got Nevada, and they got Boise State. Yeah. Those are the three best teams other than them in the conference, and they have to play all three of them. They also have to play at Hawaii, which is always a tough matchup, no matter how good Hawaii might be. So, important to win tonight and set up the rest of the schedule. All right, we'll take a quick break. Our interview of the week, we'll get you the latest, the very latest from Buster Olney on the Padres managerial search. You want to hear the names he has to mention when we return on Gwynn and Chris.
6:36, last segment of the night and of the week. Boston still leading 3-1. Astros threatening in the bottom of third, runners on first and second. Mr. Tuck.
Well, this game must have been moving along quickly. It started at, what, 6 o'clock, and they're already in the bottom of the third?
No, it started at 5, unfortunately. we do have our interview of the week for you guys coming up. This hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Indeed. Is finding the right candidate slowing you down? Cut straight to you're hired with Indeed. Our hiring platform makes it easier to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in the same place. To find your next great hire, visit Indeed.com/credit. All right, before we get to that interview of the week, here's a little traffic.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
We have a terrific guest on the line right now. Joining us via the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline is Buster Olney, ESPN's Buster Olney. And Buster, thank you for providing some of your time. And I just want to hop right into it. I think the last time I saw you, the Padres were playing some pretty good baseball. We fast forward to now. Boy, have things changed so much so that they're in search of a new manager. And we heard from ownership couple days ago, and it seemed as though that they haven't closed the door on any type of manager. They're keeping their field open, but it would just seem to be a mistake to go back down the route of, you know, not having a guy with a lot of experience.
I completely agree with you. I think that would be crazy because, you know, after And look, I'm not there every day. I don't know how good of a manager Andy Green is or Jay Singler is. But the fact is that when both of those guys walked out of the clubhouse for the last time, the players were down on them. There were a lot of players down on them. And if they go the route of hiring another inexperienced manager, that guy, whoever it is going to walk into that clubhouse on double secret probation. And Anthony, you know this better than I do in terms of how clubhouses work and how players think. It'll be a roll of the eyes like, oh, here we go again. And I've always thought this, too, that, look, if you're a young manager who didn't play in the major leagues and the team struggles at any point, it becomes really easy for the players to use as an excuse. And they sort of point to you being the problem. Maybe when in some cases they're the problem. But that's just the way the clubhouses roll, which is why I think this time around, especially given the expectations for this team, given the fact that, you know, after all the trades and the strip mining of the farm system, their window is short. The next 2 years, they got to make some hay. So go out and get a manager who's gotten it done before.
Buster Olney is with us from ESPN, and I guess the old saying is you can always go home or you can never go home. I don't know exactly which way it goes, but for Bruce Bochy, his name is certainly being represented here by a lot of fans, and it's something that everybody's talking about. And obviously, he was here for 12 years. It's been a while, but he's had some unbelievable success since then. He seems to be willing to get back in the game. How real do you think the possibility is that the Padres would revisit and go back to where they were and bring Bruce Bochy in again?
Well, after, you know, I texted him just before he came on with you guys and asked, you know, Bochy, have you heard from the Padres? He's living in Nashville. And he said, all quiet here in Nashville, you know, indicating that he had not heard from the Padres yet. I don't know how you go through a managerial search in which you are looking for an experienced manager and not talk to Bochy. To not have a conversation with him. Because I know this, you know, I talk to friends of his, they talk about how great he looks, how he's in great spirits. And let's face it, whether it's a Buck Showalter or a Ron Washington or a Bruce Bochy, the next manager you're bringing in, if you go that route of an experienced manager, you're not bringing somebody in to be, you know, the manager for the next 30 years. You're bringing in somebody who you want to win right away. Bochy certainly has that track record. I don't know how you go through that process without checking that box, because if it doesn't go well early next year and whoever you have as manager, it's not working out, and you can't say to your fan base, yeah, we did talk to Bruce Bochy, and all you can say is we didn't have a conversation with him, that to me is a slippery slope you don't want to go out on.
Yeah, Padres, I will mention, fifth in all of baseball in attendance last year, and that was due to the excitement behind. You just get the sense right now, if this managerial pick goes in a way that the fan base isn't happy with, you get the feeling that you're going to see that tick down a little bit. Now, you mentioned Bruce Bochy. There's a few other managers that have been mentioned that actually still are employed right now. Aaron Boone being one of them, Dusty Baker being the other. Buster, why hasn't Dusty Baker been given an extension at this point with the Astros?
I don't know. Because nobody could have done a more perfect right. job than Dusty has for the Astros. He was the perfect person to be brought in following the sign stealing scandal. He has such great perspective. I mean, when the guy can tell you about, you know, smoking dope with Jimi Hendrix and hanging out with Henry Aaron, and he's got stories all over the place, like, nobody can match that. And Dusty, even, you know, I don't know if you guys watched the game earlier today when the Astros center fielder got hurt, and Dusty's whole focus was on, you know, this kid's a great kid, and he loves the kid. That's how Dusty connects with players. And if he were to be, you know, his contract were to expire, then you would hope the Padres would talk with him. Now, when it comes to Aaron Boone, as we talk, the Yankees have been having internal discussions about what they want to do. Boone's contract expires at the end of this month after the World Series is over. So it's not only a question of what do the Yankees want to do, but in theory, Boone in a couple weeks could explore other options if he's not signed to a contract. I tell you this, one of the complaints I hear all the time from front office people is there's not a great array of managerial candidates, in part because of how front offices deploy analytics. They don't give as much authority to minor league managers, minor league coaches. And so, big shocker, you don't have as many managerial candidates being developed in the minor leagues. So Booney, if in fact he's not brought back for the Yankees by the Yankees, or if he wants to explore options someplace else, well, guess what? Now he does have experience, and he's also got that pedigree with the Yankees, which has worked well for the likes of Don Mattingly, Joe Girardi, et cetera.
Buster, you touched on it, the basic insistence of front offices around Major League Baseball to apply the analytics and have a lot more control over the manager's say. And I think that was something that was brought up in San Diego many times with Jace Tingler. But, you know, as we've kind of talked about it with other people, it seems like it's all over baseball. And A.J. Preller seems to be a guy that does definitely want some control. So going back to Bruce Bochy and his like, is it possible somebody like Bochy can exist with somebody like A.J. Preller in this day and age?
Probably not. And it's absolutely the question everyone asks when, you know, a name like a Buck Showalter comes up or Bruce Bochy, you know, because I think the general feeling is that there are managers who would say, you know what, my name's on the line. I know you're bringing me those ream of analytics. You can go take a leap with that stuff. Not all of it. You know, I once had a great conversation with Terry Francona about, you know, how analytics are used and brought to him by the Cleveland front office. And he said, you know, a lot of times they'll bring ideas to me and I'll say to them, guys, I see the numbers, I see the logic in them, but just give me a couple weeks to get there. Like, I need to present this to that player, or I need to present that to, you know, to somebody on the team, and we will get there eventually. If you're Terry Francona, if you're Bruce Bochy, you're Buck Showalter, you're going to follow that. And if, you know, you have a general manager like AJ who says, no, I want our plan implemented, that's the way it's going to go. I heard a story, and I'm not going to mention the manager's name, but there was one manager who was told, you need to get your starting pitcher out before facing the lineup for the third time. A guy was dealing. He left him in the game. General manager said, why did you do that? That was not the right thing to do. And he said, I can't look the kid in the eye. Literally the next day, similar situation happened. That manager was fired right after that game. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's necessarily the case with AJ and how he'd handle a situation like that. But generally speaking, front offices want their larger plans carried out by the managers. And that's not something I don't think that, you know, a Boach, a Showalter is necessarily going to buy into.
Yeah, that's definitely going to have to be some give and take, it would seem, in that situation. Buster only joins us here on the Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad Fan Hotline. And Buster, it seems like everybody is trying to avoid this next subject I'm going to broach with you, and rightfully so. It seems to be a little bit scary, but the season is almost over. We're in the divisional play, soon to be in the championship play in each league in terms of the playoffs. When that ends, the collective bargain agreement will end at the end of the year, in December. Where are the sides at? Have there been any other further discussions than the one serious talk we've seen or we read about?
50 days until the collective bargaining agreement expires midnight on December 1st. And let's face it, you really hope that they've made up, they've gotten a lot done behind the scenes. I think they've been talking, at least some. I know that there are owners who are optimistic that they'll be able to reach a deal. But then I heard from a source in the Player Association side today, and he's in a great position to know, he said, I think that we're going to have a lockout, and then we're going to have a standoff after a lockout. Now, I got to say, you know, we saw what happened in 2016. That the players waited and waited and waited to have conversations with the owners. They waited till the last second to rush a deal through, and they got killed. To me, if you play chicken with the owners and you're in the players' position right now, in the middle of the wintertime, and Anthony, I can remember, you know, in 94, when the players struck during the season, the players had the leverage in that moment, A, because they stuck together, and B, because it was the middle of the year. Executing that in the wintertime becomes a lot more problematic.
Yeah.
And I think the players would get absolutely killed if they do that. I really hope that on both sides they get a collaborative, cooperative mindset and try to grow the game. This person I heard from today is absolutely in a position to know, and he's predicting there's going to be a lockout.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't think any of us would be completely stunned if that ended up happening. Buster Olney is with us. Along the same lines, Buster, how was this baseball season in the minds of people who run baseball? And I'm talking about the time of games, the pitching changes, the shot clock per se, you know, whatever it is that they're trying to do to speed up the game and make it more interesting. Were people happy with how baseball went this year? Because I'll tell you one thing, sitting here waiting to do Padre postgame shows this year took a lot longer than it usually does. So it doesn't seem like the games are moving along any faster.
No, and people in the sport want radical change. I mean, that's why part of the reason why they brought Theo Epstein, you know, after he left the Cubs, into Central Baseball to try to help facilitate those conversations. You know, Theo is viewed as someone who, you know, maybe he can draw MLB and the Player Association together to come up with a better product, because that's what you hear all the time from people in the game. You know, I'll ask them that question. You know, how do you feel about what you guys are putting on the field? And individually, you get back, I hate it. I hate the time of games. I hate the parade of relievers. Hate the matchups. You know, I was asked by someone within the union, you know, what do you think about the idea of limiting the number of pitchers per game? I think that, you know, let's face it, whenever they do come up with the next collective bargaining agreement, you know, the two sides are going to have to come together. And I really hope that they work on some on-field initiatives, because they need to make the game faster. They need to make it in a more more confined window. I told you guys, I got a 17-year-old son who's my focus group of one. He's sports crazy. He follows everything. He's a huge fan of the Atlanta Braves. He never watches them play because it's too boring. It goes on too long. And I think a lot of fans share his perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, the attention span is certainly not what it was, and baseball seemingly needs to adjust. We've been advocating for the 11-pitcher or 12-pitcher limit on each roster.
I love that one. That's my favorite idea, Buster. I don't know what you think about that one, but I think that would go a long way. You got a better one?
I got a better one for you.
Okay.
Okay. My idea is that, and I suspect the number would be 5, is that you limit managers to four or five pitchers. I think 5 is the number you settle on, though. 5 pitchers per 9 innings, with obvious exceptions made for injury and for blowouts. And the part of the reason why I think you do that is baseball desperately needs to reestablish the preeminence of the starting pitcher.
Yes.
Who used to be the game's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know,
great.
So that we would be excited about a Kershaw versus Bumgarner. They need to get back to that time. They need to have a situation where managers have to trust their starting pitcher longer. That should help offense, because it means they're going to have to, you know, leave a pitcher out there who's throwing 90 pitches instead of replacing them. And I think it'd be great for the union, because I think it would boost the dollar figures for starting pitchers, who historically were guys who drove the numbers when it came to free agency.
Yeah, no doubt. Lots of good ideas out there. Buster, as always, appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming on. We'll catch up again soon.
Always love talking with you guys.
That was Buster Olney to end the week on our interview of the week. Currently, Red Sox still leading 3-1.
They're almost out of pitchers. The Astros are already using their third pitcher in the fourth inning of the game. So under Buster's idea, Dusty Baker would almost be out of guys right now.
Listen, they won't this game is going to be 2 hours in, and they won't be to the fifth inning yet.
They won't be to the bottom of the fourth.
No.
They're still in the top of the fourth inning. Kike Hernandez has already got a home run, a double, a single, and an amazing diving catch with the bases loaded. He's done all of that in the first 3.5 innings. Both starting pitchers are out of the game. The Astros, as I mentioned, are on their third pitcher already. And the score's only 3-1.
What'd I say? The team that could put up the most resistance in this game.
Yeah.
Or in this series is going to have the best shot.
Yeah. I have another stat for Kike.
What's that?
He's the first player in postseason history with 12 hits in a 4-game span.
What'd you say, 12 for 19? Is that what he's
in his been? Last 4 games, he's got 12 hits. And he's the first guy ever to do it. I thought he was the first Red Sox to
according,
do it.
According to MLB stats, Kike Hernandez is the first player in postseason history with 12 hits in a 4-game span.
Wow.
That's impressive. It's hard to believe that somebody didn't do that.
Is it? I mean, 12 hits,
three
in
hits
four
in
games?
Four straight games.
That's
I know that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Good hitting.
And then you also had to think, like, they weren't playing as many postseason games.
No, so you should just have the World Series. That's right. That's all you had was. Well, it's very possible. I don't remember. I used to know what the record for most hits in a World Series was, and I think it was 12 for a whole World Series. That may have been broken by now, but
well, here's his last four games. This is why he went 5-for-6 against on October 8th. He went 3-for-6 on October 10th, 1-for-4 October 11th, and then he has three hits tonight.
Yeah, that's 12. That adds up to 12.
A 5-and-a-6 piece, man. That'll take you a long way.
That'll help you out. Kike Hernandez. Maybe the Dodgers didn't know what they were doing. They should have played him a little more when they had him.
Next week, as we wrap up this show, Dennis Lynn will join us at some point of The Athletic. See if we can pin him down on if he has any information on this coaching search. And then we'll recap, obviously, on Monday what happens over the weekends. Lots of sports. A game 1 and 2 in the NLCS, a game 2 in the ALCS, all of Saturday football, Sunday football.
You better hope the Dolphins beat the Jags or you're going to be recapping the football by yourself on Monday. I'm not showing up if they can't beat the Jags.
Well, let's hope that the Dolphins win. I don't want to do it by myself. You guys enjoy your weekend. We certainly will. We'll see you back on Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.